Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, the 25th of June, Arab ministers meet in Bahrain to discuss the first part of the US president's long-awaited plan to end the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The Holy See urges patience, perseverance and leadership in countering terrorism against every religion by fostering tolerance and inclusivity. And we take a look at a three-year project which aims to explore the nature, scope and potential of religious education and faith development for adults in Ireland. In the Vatican, I'm Lydia O'Kane. Arab ministers meeting in Bahrain are discussing the first part of US President Donald Trump's long-awaited plan to end the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Nathan Morley reports.
The White House unveiled the proposals last weekend, which call for $50 billion to be invested in the Palestinian territories over a period of 10 years. At this meeting in Bahrain, government, civil society and business leaders are discussing the issue at a special workshop, which will consider a wide range of economic growth ideas, like reducing trade barriers and strengthening regional development. The US delegation includes President Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor Jared Kushner. He says the plan could create 1 million jobs in the West Bank in Gaza.
The plan would invest about $50 billion in the region. It would create 1 million jobs in the West Bank and Gaza. It would take their unemployment rate from about 30% to single digits. It would reduce their poverty rate by half if it's implemented correctly. More than half goes to the West Bank and Gaza. And then what we also want to do is stimulate Jordan, Egypt, and Lebanon, because if you can get that whole region starting to lift, and Israel's economy is already doing phenomenally well, but if you integrate everything and you're able to get, you know, quicker flow of goods, quicker flow of people, and then people are able to invest in education and infrastructure and all the different areas that are necessary in industry instead of, you know, bullets and munitions and war, then I think that will really lead to a big increase in investment in the area.
The finance ministers of several U.S.-allied Gulf Arab states, along with the International Monetary Fund chief Christine Lagarde, are present at the event. However, there is a problem. Palestinian leaders, including Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority, have rejected the plan and are not attending the workshop. Mr. Abbas said before anything else there had to be a political agreement, but Washington is unlikely to release the political part of the peace plan until later this year. Jared Kushner again.
The political side and the economic side are two very robust efforts, and to digest both of them at one time would be very, very hard. So it was necessary, I think, to break them up. So the question is, which one do you put first?
The Palestinian Authority, which governs parts of the West Bank, cut off diplomatic contacts with the United States 2 years ago after President Trump decided to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. For Vatican News, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Rebels in Yemen last month turned back a World Food Programme shipment meant to feed some 100,000 families in the war-torn nation that's been pushed to the brink of starvation. That's according to a spokesperson for the UN Aid Agency speaking on Tuesday. Christopher Wells tells us more.
The rejection of the shipment came as the WFP was in tense talks with the rebels, known as Houthis, who had blocked the agency's attempt to register millions of Yemenis in need of aid by using biometrics as a means of preventing food aid theft. The WFP has mainly blamed the rebels for stealing the food aid. The rejected shipment will also deprive thousands of families of badly needed support. The conflict in Yemen began with the 2014 takeover of the capital, Sana'a, by the Iranian-backed Houthis, who drove out the internationally recognized government. Months later, in March 2015, a Saudi-led coalition launched its air campaign to prevent the rebels from overrunning the country south. As the world's worst humanitarian disaster unfolded, aid agencies rushed to help, risking getting caught in the middle between the warring parties. Last week, the WFP partially suspended aid as talks with the Houthis went nowhere, and after the agency accused the rebels of continuing to loot aid and using millions of dollars of international donations for their war economy. The suspension affects 850,000 people in Sana'a, where the WFP says the bulk of the looting takes place. WFP said earlier this year that it aims to feed around 12 million Yemenis in 2019 at a cost of about $175 million a month. The rebels, who control northern Yemen, responded with a media campaign against the WFP, accusing it of sending spoiled food. Days before aid suspension, David Beasley, WFP executive director, told the UN Security Council that the agency in late 2018 uncovered serious evidence that food was being diverted and going to the wrong people in the capital of Sana'a and in other Houthi-controlled areas. I'm Christopher Wells.
An intense heat wave is set to bake Europe this week, and experts have warned it could be historic, potentially shattering records across a large part of the continent. Stefan Boss reports.
Weather experts say Europe's worst heat wave in years is expected to peak in the middle part of this week, when an area from Spain to Poland is expected to see temperatures at least 11 to 17 degrees Celsius, above average. People can expect to swelter in temperatures of up to 40 degrees Celsius, some 105 degrees Fahrenheit, or even higher in several parts of Europe. That has led to concerns in nations such as France, which has now introduced a heat watch warning system after a prolonged deadly heatwave in August 2003. The highest temperatures in more than half a century eventually were estimated to have caused 15,000 heat-related deaths at the time, especially older people, many of them left alone in city apartments and retirement homes without air conditioning. Older adults, the homeless, and those without air conditioning are most susceptible to heat-related illnesses. In Paris, many Parisians head to fountains to keep cool while others grab umbrellas. Charity groups are patrolling the streets to provide homeless people with water, while local authorities in the French capital set up air-conditioned public places where people can seek shelter from the heat. The French education minister, deciding it was too hot to study, even ordered national exams taken by students heading to high school postponed from Thursday and Friday to next week. And French health minister Agnès Buzyn urged people to take precautions. She urges people to drink at least 2 liters of water a day and to take it easy, especially those working outside. That's not all. International Soccer Federation FIFA could face implementing heat precautions at the Women's World Cup, which France is hosting. The precautions include holding cooling breaks during matches and postponing games if the heat is too intense. Further away in Germany, temperatures above 40 degrees Celsius were also expected to top the country's previous June record of 38.2 degrees Celsius. Authorities in the eastern state of Brandenburg, which circles Berlin, say the risk of forest fires is at the highest level in the coming days. Similar weather is expected elsewhere in western and parts of eastern Europe. Meteorologists say hot winds from the Sahara Desert brought the scorching weather to Europe. Some scientists have linked the phenomena to climate change caused by humans, while others, including U.S. President Donald Trump, remain skeptical. For Vatican News, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
The Holy See is urging patience, perseverance, wisdom, courage and leadership in countering terrorism against every religion by fostering tolerance and inclusivity. Archbishop Benedito Auza, the Holy See's permanent observer to the United Nations in New York, made the point at a UN event on countering terrorism and other acts of violence against believers of all religions. Robin Gomes has more.
Condemning several attacks against Jews, Muslims, Christians and other religious believers, and especially mentioning the recent terrorist attacks on Easter worshippers in Sri Lanka, Archbishop Benedito Auza noted that their houses of worship became execution chambers. He said that merely condemning these attacks is not enough. There is a need to focus on the responsibility and actions of states to protect all of their citizens equally, as well as to address with vigor the cultural factors necessary to promote tolerance and inclusivity. The Holy See diplomat suggested several ways of how to go about it. He said that tolerance and inclusivity are achieved through a robust promotion of the right to freedom of conscience, religion, and belief. Unfortunately, he noted that reports show that several states with an official state religion have various levels of restrictions on other religions. Some reports also document increasingly aggressive forms of nationalism hostile to religious minorities. The Vatican official underscored the need for all political, social, and and religious leaders to condemn the use of religion to incite hatred and violence or to justify acts of oppression, exile, murder, or terrorism. At the same time, he pointed out that religions themselves should not be blamed for violence and killing, but one should blame those who misinterpret or manipulate religious belief to commit evil, supposedly in God's name, for political or ideological purposes. Archbishop Auza insisted that all terrorist attacks against all religions and places of worship must be condemned unequivocally, including Islamophobia, anti-Semitism, and Christianophobia. The Holy See diplomat encouraged a real commitment to intellectual and interreligious dialogue and called for an effective education of the head and the heart, especially of young people, ensuring that schools, pulpits, and the internet do not foment intransigence and extremist radicalization. I'm Robin Gomes.
And finally, researchers at the Matter Day Centre for Catholic Education at Dublin City University are embarking on a 3-year project which aims to explore the nature, scope and potential of religious education and faith development for adults in Ireland. It's hoped that the project will enhance public awareness of the work already going on in communities, parishes and groups. I spoke to researcher Dr. Bernadette Sweetman to find out more.
We really want to find out, well, what's happening in adult religious education and faith development in Ireland across Catholic and other faiths, and what might people actually really want to have in the future.
Is that a tall order, do you think?
It is, but all the best ones are. And it really is needed. You know, we have currently begun our listening phase. We have an online survey where adults are taking part in bigger numbers than we had expected, and there is really a hunger, a need for adults to have their spiritual side addressed in a way that has been neglected, really, on any large scale.
Well, it's interesting you should say neglected, because traditionally Ireland has been known as obviously a traditionally Catholic country with Catholic education. Where is it lacking? Is it to do with formation in younger years, that there may be a catechesis, that kind of thing? Is that where it is lacking?
I think that there is the assumption that you learn about your faith and you have your religious education very much in a school context and when you are young, and when you leave that context there isn't really much on purpose there for you. So it's a matter of, well, all of that information and the values that we learned as children, what does that mean to us now, you know, throughout all of the different experiences that we have throughout the course of our adulthood? We need to have those moments to engage in honest and open reflection on, well, what does it mean for me now? Where is my faith now? What can I maybe be of service to others now that I have, you know, gained so much experience and so on? There has been a traditional, I think, providing talks maybe throughout Lent or having some courses on, very formal in some way. But I think there needs to be something else for a lot of other people that might, you know, learn in different ways or want to engage in a way that they haven't done before.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. In the Vatican, thank you for joining us.